Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. And Lord, first I ask, Lord, that you would strengthen my lungs and my chest and this coughing. Just end it right now. That I could be a vessel of honor to be used. Encounter us right now, God. Encounter us. That we can learn of you. Learn your words, Lord. Learn what you've done for us. Bring to life the special things that happen on Christmas Day that we celebrate. Let your word go out and not return void. Bless this time together as we just hear what you have to say. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last week, we started this good news, the best news ever. Good news, the best news ever. And I talked about Emmanuel, God with us. And it goes all the way back into Genesis. Right? In Genesis chapter 1, when God created the heavens and the earth. Right? And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And He created man and woman. And he walked with us. He walked in the garden with them. Until sin. Until the enemy of our soul, Satan, came in and stole away our dominion. He stole away our authority. And we spent time going through all the Old Testament prophecies. I'm not going to spend all of them. We spent all the Old Testament prophecies to the point of where Christ was just about to come onto the scene. It was God's redemption plan. He at one point wanted to wipe man off the face of the earth, but God's grace intervened. And so, from time after time, we see prophecy after prophecy saying, hold on, people. Hold on. The Messiah is going to come. And I found it fitting that we spent communion and some of the scriptures that were referenced, and even with Marcos's prayer. And we saw just before last week, at the very end, we saw Mary encounter the angel of the Lord, prophesy to her that you are going to give birth to Emmanuel, the Savior. The Savior of the world. And I find it fitting that in John chapter 1, it's like a mirrored image of Genesis chapter 1. So let's go there. John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. For in him was life, and life was the light of men. Light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. John the Baptist. We heard that prophecy, right? We know John filled by the Holy Spirit in the womb of Elizabeth as he encountered Jesus on the other side with Mary before they'd even been delivered into the world, filled with the Holy Spirit. Just further confirmation that life begins at conception.
Amen.
There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness. Can I get a witness? To bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. For he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That's Malachi. We had that prophecy we read in Malachi. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. For he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him.
But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. To those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Amen. And that very word that was in the beginning became flesh and dwelt among us. Beheld his glory, and the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, "This was he whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me." He was before me. The Alpha and the Omega. And I want to just create this picture that we live in a dark world. Since Genesis 3, it's become a dark world that needs light desperately. The birth of Jesus, that's part of God's salvation plan that would bring light, that would offer us hope. Hope to this lost and dark world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You have to keep reading. Yeah. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world. This is John chapter 3. And men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deed should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they may have been done in God. What a contrast that God would so love the world that he would send his only begotten Son, when in Genesis chapter 6, God looked on the world and said, "I regret making man." Right? Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thought of his heart was evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, "I am going to destroy man whom I've created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them." But before John 3:16 happened, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. One man found grace from God that would perpetuate. Then we had the picture of Jesus. He found Noah, provided his grace, and God so loved the world that he would pour out his grace through his Son, Jesus, and make it available to us. Which brings us to Luke chapter 2. It brings us to Luke chapter 2. I wanted to start in John because you need to understand, in the beginning was the Word, and he was the light. He's the light of the world. In Luke chapter 2, "And it came to pass in the days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered." This is the Christmas story right here. "And it came to pass in those days." This is an appointed time, folks. God's sovereignty in play at the appointed time. Jesus had an appointed time to which he would make first his entry into the world. And I'll give you proof of that in a little bit. "And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. The census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, only to confirm Micah 5:2. The appointed time to which the registry would happen causes Joseph and Mary to go to Bethlehem, folks. God has a plan. He's way ahead of the curve, folks. He looks way ahead. Because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. I remember asking that question last year. Is there room for Jesus in your inn? In your heart? Is there room? Is there room? And here comes those awesome shepherds. Now there were in the same country living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. The shepherds. The shepherds were sitting in the dark, folks. The only light that they likely had was most likely their fire, the flickering fire. But then suddenly, just as Jesus would come again, suddenly the darkness was expelled with the angel of the Lord appearing. Listen, folks, this is imagery right here. The shepherds sitting in the darkness is like humanity who was lost, sitting in the darkness of sin and in the shadow of death. And behold, the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Listen, folks, the glory of the Lord appeared, and they were afraid. Adam and Eve were afraid in the garden last time God was with them in the garden. The last time Emmanuel, God with us, they were greatly afraid. The shepherds suddenly see the glory of God and they're afraid. But then the angel says, "Do not be afraid." What a difference from Genesis chapter 3. Remember, God said, "Who told you you were naked?" They were afraid. Who told you you were naked? Out of the garden you go. Now, the glory of God comes in. Emmanuel, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. All people. Tidings. Tidings of great joy. Tidings is euangelizo, which is good news, right? It's the tidings when you look up the meaning of this. It's the tidings of the kingdom of God and of the salvation to be obtained in it through Christ and of whatever relates to this salvation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he says, I bring you good tidings of which the kingdom of God is being ushered in the very moment. Tidings of great joy. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. Or burial cloths, right? Remember that message. Lying in a manger. The joy of Christmas is the message that the Savior has been born, and it brings us the promise of eternal life to those who are under God's judgment. For the Savior has been born who will deliver all who receive Him. All who receive Him. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on the earth, peace, goodwill toward men. And so it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste. They were excited. They were excited to go see Messiah. Found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they had made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. They saw him. They saw this baby. They didn't see the king with his crown. He wasn't full grown. They saw a baby and they saw the promise. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. I ended last week's message about carrying Jesus, that he would grow so much inside you that you would deliver him to the world, just as Mary carried Jesus. And here the shepherds, immediately upon seeing the babe, glorifying God and sharing the good news. It's about faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things unseen. Later on in the passage, we see that in effect. Pick it up in verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. The Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. He came by what? The Spirit. What led him? Spirit. The Spirit. The Holy Spirit led him. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles, not just the Jews, to all. That's what the angel said to the shepherds. And the glory of your people Israel. See, it took the Holy Spirit to lead Simeon to the moment to which he would see Christ the Savior. Just as each and every one of us have the Holy Spirit beckon and tug on us as Christ came in and opened our blind eyes. Isn't it? Isn't that the truth? The Holy Spirit leads us to the truth through eyes of faith. See, it was through eyes of faith that Simeon saw the Savior. Human eyes would have saw a carpenter, a young lady, and a baby, and that's it, and missed the Savior. Spiritual eyes see the salvation that was revealed in the infant. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Simeon, through prophecy, confirms that Christ's coming would not bring salvation and peace to everyone. Those who oppose him, those with their spiritual pride, would fall in judgment. Those who accept him will rise in salvation. You cannot be neutral towards Christ, folks. You cannot be neutral. You can't be lukewarm either. You must take a side. Either you trust and acknowledge him as Lord and Savior, or you trust in yourself, your way, and you fall in judgment. The Word of God is a discerner of the hearts. That's what it says, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. The Word of God, the sword, is a discerner of the thoughts of the heart. Who is the living Word? Jesus. And he confirms that. The Word of God, discerner of the heart's heart. Wouldn't it make sense that Jesus would do the same, right? Since he's the living Word that became flesh. He knows your thoughts, folks. He knows whether you trust him, whether you trust in his death as the payment for your sins, that you trust him in
the power of his resurrection to make him Lord of your life. He knows. He knows if it's a masquerade or not. And so we see this story come to life, which leads us further on in the New Testament. I just want to read in Philippians chapter 2. We've read this through knowing him, but Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even to the death of the cross. Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's the story of Christmas. Yet Jesus didn't just come down off the throne as deity, full grown. He came in the likeness of man. That's the joy of Christmas. The joy of Christmas and Emmanuel are fulfilled right here in this scripture. Jesus was a man. He was born in Bethlehem. He was born the same way we were born. He did not descend from the heavens. He was born just like any human. And as a man, he could be the one to bear the sin of the human race.
Amen, that's right. The only one.
He had to come as man.
That's right.
All the way back to the garden.
That's right.
To take back dominion. To take back the authority to which Satan had taken over from Adam. The second Adam, the perfect Adam,
Amen.
Came back.
Amen.
This is good preaching.
Amen.
As a man, he would be the one to bear the sins of the human race. Jesus, the joy of Christmas is Jesus is Christ the Lord. He was God in human flesh. And if he had only been a man, he could not have saved us. He was Christ. He was Christ the Lord. He was the anointed one. The one to preach the gospel. That's what you prayed. Hallelujah. To preach the gospel. To offer sacrifice for sins. And as king, to reign forevermore. Hallelujah. In Galatians chapter 4, I told you before, I said the appointed time, right? I'm going to give you confirmation of that. It's right here in Galatians chapter 4, 1 through 7. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not defer at all from a slave, though he is master of all, but he is under the guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the father. Even so, when we were children, we were in the bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, 2,000 years ago, folks,
Amen.
The fullness of time had come. God sent forth his son, born of a woman. There it is. Born under the law to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Only a perfect man could fulfill the law of God, which no man up to this point and since has been able to keep. Only Christ.
Amen.
Only Christ who came to the world. And because you are now sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts. Into your hearts. Crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. For God, Emmanuel, with us and in us. I told you, the things you shared during communion and the things that he prayed, it was so spot on, I just giggled on the inside. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. We don't conspire beforehand.
Not at all.
to talk about these things. I didn't even know if he was coming or not. Listen, that's good news. It's the best news ever.
Amen.
You are an heir. You're an heir. Ephesians 5, 8 through 14. For you were once in darkness. Hallelujah. We were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light, for the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Expose them. Isn't that what the light did? It exposed the darkness. For God so loved the world. This is the condemnation. The light would expose sin. They don't like that.
That's right.
It's pride. It's pride. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things, folks, all the things that are done in secret, including for you and I, all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake. Awake. Yeah. What did I say before we start recording? Awake. Awaken, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Light that expels darkness. Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. And you, he made alive. You were once dead. Did you know that? That's why I made the point about the second birth. When you were born into this world, you were already, your clock was ticking. You're dying. You're dying. You're dying. But the second birth, you are made alive. Eternally. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, the knowledge of good and evil, according to the prince of the power of the air. Damn that man. Ugh. The spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh. That's what happened in the garden. It was the lust of the flesh. The lust of the eyes. It looked so good. Filling desires of the flesh and of the mind. And were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God. So loved the world. But God, who is rich in mercy, looked upon Noah, found grace, and led us up to this point. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. For by grace you have been saved, and it raises us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. We are his workmanship, so we are created new in him, so we can walk like him in them.
Amen.
Now, let's go back full circle as we get here, get ready to close. Full circle. Full circle. From the garden, Emmanuel, God had dwelled and walked with us. At that point, right? Then sin separated us and brought the curse of death. We were banished from the garden, away from the tree of life, right? We read that last week. The law was given to show us our imperfections and lack of ability to meet God's standards. But God, who is rich in his love, sent his only son to die for us. He would live only 33 years and dwell among men to be brutally murdered for payment for yours and my sins. He then, through the power of the Holy Spirit, was resurrected. Through him, we can obtain his righteousness when we repent and put our belief, faith, and trust in Christ. Repentance is a big part of it.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit then resides in us, leading us to live a life sharing Jesus, the light of the world, to others as we carry him inside us, delivering him who resides in you and I to a lost and dying world. That we can live a life that is holy, that we can stand before him someday, and he can say, "Well done, thy true and faithful servant." Up to this point, it was Emmanuel in Genesis, God with us. Then it was God with us again after the sin of curse, right? Jesus came. Then it's God in us. But there is coming a day in the very near future, folks. It will be Emmanuel, God, and with us again. Revelation 21. Now I saw a heaven, a new heaven, and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, "Behold, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. Amen. And they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God." Emmanuel, God with us, we are with him forevermore. What once was created in the garden has been restored.
Hallelujah.
And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor more sorrow, nor more crying. There shall be no more pain. And the former things, all that we deal with today, have passed away.
Hallelujah.
Then he who sat on the throne, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said to me, write, for these words are true. Right back to John chapter 1. And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountains of the water of life freely to him who thirsts," just as he told the Samaritan woman. "He who overcomes," are you overcomer? "shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son." But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Full circle. God kicked Adam and Eve out of the garden. And he put a cherubim over the tree of life. Turn over to Revelation chapter 22.
Hallelujah.
Full circle. Chapter 22, verses 1 through 5. "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb." Read it right there in verse chapter 2. "In the middle of its street and on other side of the river," underline it, "was the tree of life."
Amen.
"Which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were the healing of the nations." The tree of life that was in the garden has been restored. "And there shall be no more curse." What happened in the garden, the curse of sin is no more. And the tree of life we now have access to. Which God said no in the garden. I knew of this scripture, but when I read it the other day, it jumped off the page to me. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servant shall serve. What will happen? Emmanuel, God with us. They shall see his face. Up to this point, man could not even look upon God. Moses, I couldn't even look on the burning bush. He had to look down. Isaiah saw the train, just his royal robe, and he's like, I'm undone. They shall see his face in his name. His name shall be on their foreheads. And John chapter 1, the light. There shall be no night there. No night. No darkness. Why? They need no lamp, nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light. The one who created the light by speaking it will be the light for us forevermore. And they shall reign forever and ever. And the last part, Revelation chapter 22, verses 12 through 14. Jesus' words for you and I. Behold, I am coming quickly. And my reward is with me. To give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And here it is, folks. Underline this part. Blessed are those who do his commandments. Right. Obedience, folks. Obedience. And if you obey, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into this city. I pray you will never look at Emmanuel, God with us, the same ever again. Merry Christmas, church. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you for your word and how deep it is. Just reading scripture, it has its own force, its own life force that just gives us the ability to persevere, to stand. Thank you for sending your son to die for us, that we might have what was once in the garden again. Be with us as we go our separate ways, that we would be light to the lost and dark world, that they would truly know good tidings of joy on Christmas and every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed.